Blessed be the God who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. This year's Making the Case Conference Hymn Sing will feature hymns designed to sing God's comfort into hurting souls and broken hearts. Lord, Thee I love, I walk in danger all the way. The King of Love my shepherd is. Be still my soul, and a whole bunch more. You know you don't want to miss it. So I'll see you at Concordia University Chicago, June 24th and 25th. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the remainder of today's program, it's listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
Here's some feedback from Scott regarding yesterday's interview with Pastor John Koopman on the danger of cynicism. Scott says, a whole interview of cynicism and the main focus was just do it yourself. What is the point of a church and synod if the elected and chosen representatives are not expected to do their jobs? Everyone should leave the church and have their own families just run a service. They wanted the part and job, and then we give it to them, and leadership just says, fix your own problems. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Scott.
Well, I don't think that that was Pastor Koopman's message. He was more trying to warn us against the danger of a cynicism that would say, there's nothing I can do about anything. And he did say near the end of the interview, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod probably isn't going to help you. And I think he also said your politicians don't care about you. Now, he wasn't trying to further exacerbate the issue of cynicism. He was just saying, don't look for someone else. And he's speaking in particular to pastors. Don't look for someone else to solve the problems of your congregation. And I think that's actually a very needed sentiment, because let me just tell you a little out of school Wilkin pet peeve, okay? I have several pet peeves about my fellow pastors. Most pastors do. One of them is when pastors complain about how hard they work. Yes, many pastors do work very hard, but so do lay people. And you very seldom hear your lay people explain about how tough their job is. A lot of them are just happy to have a job or they enjoy their job, but you signal something when you tell people how hard you're working, that you think you're working too hard, or maybe you wish you weren't doing what you're doing. And no lay person wants to hear that from my pastor. But my other pet peeve is the kind of cynicism that Pastor Koopman was talking about, which says, I can't do anything about this. Where's my Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod to come and solve my problems for me? Which actually, they're not there to do that. They're there to have your back while you apply the word of God to your particular situation as a pastor and do the hard work. They're there to have your back, but they're not there to swoop in and solve the congregational problems that you have. The same pastors spend a lot of time complaining about how little the synod does, or how little they discipline fellow pastors or something like that. Meanwhile, in your congregation, do you have discipline problems that you are ignoring? Because you're on the front lines, pastor. You are literally, and God love you and God bless you for being there. And it's easy for me to say sitting in a studio someplace, but you are on the front lines, pastor. And that means you are the one who is, according to your vocation, called to do that. I think Pastor Koopman even said that. That's what you're called to do.
We've talked about this ad nauseum. This is one of the criticism that Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison gets. Why does he discipline? And he's just discipline DPs and kick out DPs, even though technically he can't just snap his fingers and kick out a DP,
yeah,
right?
Right.
It's amazing when you ask those same pastors asking President Harrison to discipline, so how many people have you put on the communion ban at your congregation? How many people have you excommunicated at your congregation? Do you have a don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue policy when it comes to cohabitation? Do you try to stay as far away from your lay people because you don't want to know what they're up to? Because you might? Because that way you can say, well, I don't have any of those issues. President Harrison's got them, but I don't have them in my congregation. Right. It's deflection. It's what does Jesus say? Get the log out of your own eye before you get the speck out of your brother's eye.
And we should say that there are many, many faithful Lutheran pastors out there who are doing their level best to deal with their congregations according to the Word of God. And they're really doing it. I mean, and it's hard, but they're doing it. And they're remaining faithful, and they are applying God's word of both law and gospel exactly as they should be, shepherds of their flock. And then there's some pastors just like to gripe about what's happening 800 miles away in St. Louis.
Well, myself included. I think it's the old Adam in us. A lot of times what we complain about, we're struggling with ourselves.
Yeah, that's
we have
true.
Our own guilt.
Sure.
Stephen writes, I was taken aback by the vehemence of your assertion, I think this is my assertion, that saying Putin bombed a maternity hospital is pure propaganda. Please consider a couple of things. First, this is definitely Vladimir Putin's war. If not for him, there would not be the bombing of hospitals in Ukraine. He is the part of the whole and the impetus behind the bombing, which, according to a Russian general, was purposeful and not accidental, whether or not a direct order came from Moscow. As a reason why the Russian army is there in the first place, everything the Russian army does is his responsibility. I really don't understand your compunctions in this case. Second, it is quite clear that many, perhaps most Russians oppose this war. Shifting responsibility away from Putin impugns a wider number of the declared war on the world by saying he is going to change the world order. He also has declared war on his own people by arresting Russian citizens for merely saying no war. God grant the Ukrainian people to recognize the level of fear the average Russian has and the amount of actual, not felt, as in your case, propaganda the Russian people are subject to. Thanks for the feedback. Thanks for listening in Oregon, Stephen.
Now, you were speaking as a journalist. You weren't critiquing the fact that someone said Putin bombed a maternity hospital or whatever it was. You were critiquing the fact that the chyron at the bottom of a news broadcast said Putin bombs hospital or whatever.
Putin bombs children's hospital.
Right. So
it was up for at least 5 minutes on the screen.
Why were you, as a journalist, why were you critiquing the fact, not that just the average person said that, but that that was a broadcast statement by a news outlet?
Well, first of all, let's just take Stephen's assumption and say Putin was responsible. Putin orders. Then you have to put, it's missing a verb. Putin orders bombing of children's hospital, right? Not Putin bombs children's hospital. A, he did not deliver the bomb. I'm certain. I think he was in Moscow probably, right? Secondly, you have to prove that Putin said, I want you to bomb this children's hospital.
And you're speaking as a journalist here. You're not talking about just how two people talking about this over coffee.
Always apply your thinking to someone who disagrees with you. In 2019, the United States warplanes dropped 7,423 bombs on Afghanistan when Donald Trump was president.
As part of our ongoing military efforts there when we were still there, yes.
Right. You're watching CNN. Chyron shows up, Trump bombs children's hospital, or MSNBC. Trump bombs children's hospital. How are you going to react? Well, Trump didn't do that. The leftist media. All I'm saying is apply the same standards to the people who disagree with you. And if you would be upset if there was a Chyron on MSNBC or CNN, Trump bombs children's hospital, then you should apply that same standard to Vladimir Putin, who's an evil man, which I said last week.
And this is Putin's war. You wouldn't disagree with that.
No, absolutely not.
The man responsible for the atrocities and the bloodshed and the displacement of 3 million plus people that we're watching on television every single night is Vladimir Putin. He's responsible for it. The buck actually stops there, and it was his decision. And look, at least he's honest. He's taking responsibility for it too. He's not blaming anybody else. He's saying this is what I want to have happen. So it's evil. And it's very rare to see a politician take responsibility for something like this, but he is.
And if you're going to make that statement, you have to back it up that Putin ordered the bombing of a children's hospital. Jessica, Indianapolis. If our faith and all good works we do are because of the Holy Spirit in us, and those without faith do not have the Holy Spirit, how are a lot of non-believers still able to do good deeds throughout their life? Great question. Thanks for listening in, Indy, Jessica.
They can do outwardly good deeds, those things that appear to be good deeds to us. The question is, are they good works by God's standard? And the answer to that question is no. Apart from the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to do good works that actually please God. So what we are watching with unbelievers is they are acting according to natural law, whether they believe it or not, and living to the degree that they can without the Holy Spirit, largely out of fear of punishment or hope of reward, whatever that may be. They do good deeds that outwardly appear to be in some ways indistinguishable, outwardly indistinguishable from the good deeds of Christians, but they are not good deeds in the eyes of God. Now, I think sometimes Lutheran pastors overstate the case here, and they say that the Christian's good deeds are indistinguishable, or a Christian's life is indistinguishable from an unbeliever's life. That is not true. That is to deny the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, are there really good pagans out there who are just people of generally goodwill who might, if you say, that person must be a Christian, you find out, no, they're an atheist. Wow, I really would have thought they were Christian by the way that they were living. Why would you even come to that conclusion? Well, because Scripture says that Christians do these good deeds. And Jesus even says they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But it is God who sees the heart. Where Lutherans sometimes overstate this is by saying something like, well, the Christian's life is no different than the unbeliever's. That is absolutely false. Scripture clearly teaches that the Christian's life is different, maybe only from God's perspective, but it is different entirely. It is a new creation. It is a new life. It's not the old life. It's the new man. It's not the old man. So, yeah, you can see it happening all around you, unbelievers living their lives and doing good deeds. But the question is, who gets to define what those good deeds actually are? What is good is only God.
Hello, my name is Brandon, calling from Augusta, Georgia. I wanted to ask a question, make a comment with regard to episode 742 and the allegations of woke ideology at Concordia University, Wisconsin, in Macon. My question with regards to the issue also, and I think that this may have been addressed in Joy Pullman's article on the Federalist, but does the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod start to look at their involvement with regards to the money that comes in from the federal government via federal student loans, VA funding, etc., that the pressure that often comes with that is the requirement from the federal government to go along with the diversity, equity, and inclusion principles and the woke principles that come along with it, with the threat of if you do not go along, they will remove the funding. Is in the effort of Concordia University to maintain numbers and funding and whatnot, are they trying to go along with the DEI because they are concerned about losing federal funding? I wonder what your thoughts might be, and I wonder if that might be something that the Reverend Professor Schultz has thoughts about as well. Blessings, and thank you so much for your program. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. Thank you very much. It's a good question. Let's just review the situation. We recently interviewed Dr. Gregory Schultz, who was on the 19th of February suspended as a professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and subsequently learned that it is because he had written an article in which he talked about, really in very gentle terms, if you ask me, compared to what's actually going on, a woke ideology at that university. So we interviewed him, almost a 90-minute interview. You can go and listen to it for yourself. It was, when was it? Monday? Tuesday? What day did we do that?
Tuesday.
Tuesday this week. So you can go back to the on-demand archives and see that. Now, the question about funding is important because right now there is no overt, there's no overt pressure on Christian universities to change their policies or be robbed of the various ways that the government funds education. Now, had the Equality Act, which was one of President Biden's major initiatives that he wanted to get through, had the Equality Act managed to make it through Congress and to President Biden's desk, it would have been. It would have directly tied federal money to forced education, to that school's willingness to carry out the agenda of, in most cases, probably the LGBTQ agenda. That did not pass. There's nothing official about that. Now, does that mean that there isn't a kind of a covert pressure to do that, that is felt by universities and say, well, we don't want to be robbed of that money, so maybe we want to make the wording of this particular syllabus or document or whatever it may be so that it doesn't raise any red flags with people who provide that money? Yes, there's certainly that pressure. And the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod really ought to be saying, is it smart for us to continue to suckle from the teat of the federal government when we know that at a moment's notice they could rob us of all that money and put it, there's no mistake about it, put us out of business. Whether or not the university is taking money from the government as a university or it's taking money from the government through the grants and the various things that students get, if that money disappears, guess what? None of them survive. They are done. They're finished permanently. Which is why there are many people who are saying we got to find a way in the Concordia University system to wean ourselves off of the drug of government money and adopt, well, it would be something like Hillsdale or a couple other universities in the United States that have said we do not take state or government money. We don't do it. They find other means of endowments. They found other means of funding the education for their students. And I think that's a great idea, but it's a long-term project, a very long-term project. Jeff recently had a conversation with a listener who said, look, here, the real problem right now is not government funding for our Concordia universities. It's the accrediting organizations.
Bingo.
They're trying to appease the accrediting organizations with this language. If they haven't adopted the woke ideology themselves, they're simply trying to sound woke so as to not raise any red flags with the accrediting organizations. Or the accrediting organizations may be saying, who knows? We want this language in there. In order to keep your accreditation, we want this language in there. In which case, they just have to say, guess what? No. Accreditation is important to us, but it's not worth that. We cannot compromise. Even for the sake of appearances, we cannot compromise what we our core beliefs and values and teachings as a Christian organization in order to get accreditation. Who knows how politics goes in the future? I think it's a pincher movement on Christian universities and colleges coming in the future between the accreditation organizations and that federal funding to say, submit or we'll defund you, or submit and you won't get accreditation. I don't know anything about higher education. I just don't know why accreditation is that big of a deal. I mean,
because it's tied to government grants for students, government loans.
Well, there you go. So if you're not accredited, does any employer say, oh, so you went to Jesus school? What kind of accreditation did Jesus University have?
Problem is if Joey can't get his student loan, he can't afford to attend Concordia University. Right. That's the issue.
That's the issue.
The issue. And I don't have permission. This is a regular guest on the show, so I won't use his name. But here's what he said was really insightful in the email he sent me today. The way our schools can really blow it, if they roll over and accept the requirements that their accrediting agencies are trying to foist on them, instead of supinely accepting what the accreditors say and fighting the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, they should be fighting the accrediting agencies. They should be saying, quote, we do not seek accreditation with you so that you can fundamentally change the nature of our institution. We will not let you do that, end quote. So,
and he makes a great point, because up to this point, our universities, with some exceptions, have by and large not been resisting the accrediting organizations, and they have been resisting the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, if only in a very passive, aggressive way. There is a problem. We know the causes of the problem. There are solutions that are extremely, almost mind-bogglingly expensive. The question is it worth it to be able to offer students a genuinely Lutheran education that does not compromise with the world? This is not a battle that is off in the future. It's a battle that's right around the corner. We can hear it already, and we have to make the decision. Is it worth it to have Lutheran schools that do not bow to the demands of the world? And are we willing to pay for it? It'll be really expensive, and we'll probably have to get a lot smaller before in order to do it, but it'll be worth it. We'll be right back.
I ain't got time to take no faster. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
In the midst of a world full of violence, trouble, affliction, confusion, darkness, with terrible things here and terrible things seemingly coming over the horizon, Jesus stands and says to us, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled."
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller talking about his presentation at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We want to rejoice in that peace, explore that peace, consider that peace that Jesus wants to give to all of his people, and at last to recognize that he, in fact, is our peace, a peace that passes all understanding.
You can meet and hear Pastor Wolf Miller making the case for Christian peace at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Onward in his footsteps treading, pilgrims hear our home above.
The saints at Pilgrim Lutheran Church in Kilgore, Texas are strangers and exiles on earth seeking a homeland in heaven. If you are in East Texas, visit in person. Otherwise, visit online at www.pilgrimlc.org.
I shall follow where
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Have you ever wondered why our beloved hymns were written? What influenced the writers to craft these words that proclaim the gospel? Learn more about the words you love to sing in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Eternal Anthems, The Story Behind Your Favorite Hymns. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Eternal Anthems, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, 1-800-325-3040.
Tell me why.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is The Story Behind Your Favorite Hymns. It's called Eternal Anthems. It has, 50 hymns, I believe, in there that are among your favorites, and the story behind each one of them, briefly and easily written and read. You can find out more about this book at our website. issuesetc.org, or just call Concordia Publishing House and order Eternal Anthems, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Here's some feedback from the Issues Etc. comment line on a recent movie review.
Hi, this is Chris in Phoenix, Arizona. I want to thank you for Pastor Ted Geese's review of the Batman film. I found Pastor Geese's description matched my experience exactly. As I was watching it, I thought, this is a horror movie, and this should be rated R. This being a superhero movie, I also wondered how many children were in the auditorium. Pastor Geese rightly used the word distress when describing the movie, and I found increasing distress as it went on. Finally, after watching about 2.5 hours, I left before the movie was over. I decided it wasn't worth my time to be increasingly disturbed as time went on. I would definitely recommend that parents consider The Batman as distressing as a horror movie when deciding to take their children. As always, I appreciate Issues Etc. as guests and their covering important topics like this. Thanks for all you do.
All right. Thank you very much. And it's very helpful to hear a little confirmation of what Pastor Geese says. Pastor Geese doesn't mince any words when it comes to his critique of movies. He's not here to sell them. He's here to evaluate them as a pastor and as a lover of film. So take his, when he says the kids shouldn't be in that movie, he really means it. Kids shouldn't be in that movie.
You know what we really need right now?
What?
We need some T-Matt love. Terry Mattingly.
Yeah. Not from him, no, but toward him.
David writes, I was listening to the listener comments and email part of the show tonight and thought I'd give my 2 cents. I think Terry did a good job of explaining the more complicated and religious aspects to the conflict in Ukraine. Rarely, if at all, do I ever hear it discussed in the mainstream media, including the more conservative pundits, so his take was refreshing. The war in Ukraine is a tragedy, as is all war, and I pray for an end to the conflict and that evil on both sides might be exposed. Have a blessed weekend, and thank you for listening, David.
I think Terry brought some insights that we probably couldn't have gotten anywhere else as easily, given his experience there and his knowledge of, because we were talking about religion and the Russia-Ukraine war, and he brought some insights there into, in particular, the religion or the religious, facade that is behind and around Vladimir Putin. So I think the conclusion that Terry might have drawn without coming out and saying, this is the fact, is that Putin is using some religious ideas, some religious history. And Terry's concern was that the media, in noting that Putin is twisting Russia's history, should be aware of the fact that he wasn't exactly twisting the history of Russian Orthodoxy. Is he using it? Yes, he is. But he was getting his history there right. And that was what Terry wanted to point out.
I'm thinking that Terry probably has the record for most criticism as a regular guest here on Issues Etc., right?
Oh, I would say that's true.
But yes. I'm thinking, just thinking, that the criticism of having former Attorney General Bill Barr, did you know he was speaking at our conference this year, by the way?
Really?
Yes. I think the criticism of having speak at our conference might, in just a few months, surpass 20-some years of Terry Mattingly being a weekly guest on Issues Etc.
Really, Terry was not criticized. I'm just going to say this. Terry was not widely criticized as a guest by our listeners until the Trump era.
That's a really good point.
He was on for years before that, and nary a peep. He spoke at our conference, and we didn't have people saying, you got Terry Mattingly coming to speak. I'm not going to come to the conference. they weren't. Not until the Trump era, not until Terry first uttered the word Donald Trump on the air. I don't think he got much criticism at all.
And he said he was a never-Trumper and a never-Hillary. Kent writes, thank you for presenting the St. Peter Options series with Pastor Bender. Equity, diversity, inclusion is a major corporate objective at the company where I work and has been very divisive. The St. Peter Option has been very timely and helpful. Thank you, Issues Etc. and Pastor Bender.
That's been very helpful for a lot of our listeners, that conversation on the St. Peter Option. And I've said this before. The reason we continue to talk about this is not just that it's top of mind, but pastors, this is where your parishioners are living every day. They go to work and they see the sign on the wall that says something like diversity and equity and inclusion. They know what's being pushed by their human resources departments and by if they have a diversity officer prowling the cubicles or the wherever they work, they know exactly what's at work here. And they know that their beliefs, their ideas that they have learned from Scripture are the target of these kind of draconian efforts at the workplace to make everyone conform to the woke agenda.
Speaking about real life issues, Linda writes, thank you for the timely episode about personal identities with Pastor David Thompson. My extended family has been dealing with a teenage questioner for the last year. The family affirms the decisions being made because they don't want a suicide. I'm the only one not affirming the desired chosen name and pronouns, but I do show this child my concern and love. Now, most recently, one of my own early elementary grandchildren has dealt a blow in that same direction. The parents are totally on board, though they do think it'll pass. Yes, please, Lord, grant this. The parents left the faith long ago, so my prayers now include not just their return to Jesus, but a release of this sick ideology that swamps society and my own family. I am upset to say the least. I am sad that the political left has taken things so far that way, but I also acknowledge that the right deviates. I appreciate your faithfulness and God bless your outreach, concludes Linda.
Well, we're happy to continue to provide whatever resources we can, and I understand the pain that you are undergoing with this and how terrifying it can be as well. Look, the devil hates our children because he hates and all children, but especially Christians' children and grandchildren. He hates them because he couldn't get his hands on Jesus, the one child that he wanted to destroy, and thereby destroying all of mankind, couldn't get his hands on him. And so he, as the book of Revelation so clearly teaches, he goes off to make war on the rest of that woman's children. That's the rest of our children and grandchildren. But guess what? Jesus is there to protect them. Friday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Chris Roseborough about Kevin Zadi's alleged trip to heaven and back, and we'll discuss the misuse of Esther's story in Pop American Christianity with Dr. Andrew Steinman.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoda, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoda.com.
With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. The Southern Illinois District Advocates for Life invite you to join your brothers and sisters in Christ for a peaceful, life-affirming prayer vigil at the Planned Parenthood facility in Fairview Heights, Illinois, Saturday morning, March 26th. Pre-service music at 9:45 with the prayer vigil at 10 a.m. For more information, visit sidadvocatesforlife.com. That's sidadvocatesforlife.com.